And I was thinking about the invitation tonight, and I thought, let's talk about the idea of the invitation. You know, it's the same word could be translated call, invitation, or summon. And it depends who's doing it. You know, when you get something from a court inviting you to be to court, it's really called a summons, isn't it? It's not an option. And kings, when they called you, it was a summons. It was not an option. And in Matthew 22, Jesus told this very elaborate picture of a wedding feast. Now, he, of course, is the groom in this. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." The king is our Father, God. "He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. So he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and my fatted cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' And they did not come." So the king was enraged. He dispatched his soldiers to destroy those who would not come, who spitefully treated his servants who sent out the summon. And he said, "Now go out to the roads and everywhere and invite to the feast whoever you find." Because those who had been invited didn't come. And so when the king looked over the guests, he saw a man who did not have his wedding garment. And the king said to this person, "Why are you in here without a wedding garment?" And he commanded that that man should be bound hand and foot, cast into outer darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, because many are invited, but few are chosen. Now, at first you'd think it's a little unreasonable that somebody would be treated that way without having a wedding garment, right? But it's without a fact that it wasn't just with Jewish kings, but kings of old provided garments. And in this story, God provides our garments. As Vernon once pointed out, that this goes hand in hand with Revelation 19, where we see in the future the wedding feast of the Lamb and His bride. And that there we're told that the garments are the righteous acts of the saints. Now, how are those provided? Well, we know that in Romans 3, that this righteousness is from God, and it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. See, He provides our righteous acts, our garments, through faith in Jesus Christ. And that it is God who wills both to do for His good pleasure. He works through us. And so He, in a very real sense, provides what our garments need to be, that is righteousness, through the belief in His Son, so that He might work through us. In any case, I thought it was interesting that in 2 Kings 10, and listen to the similarities, and I'm going to not read the whole thing, but Jehu brought the people together. He said, "Summon to me all the prophets of Baal, that no one's missing. Whoever is missing will not live." That's how a summon worked to a king, okay? You came. And he said, "Proclaim an assembly for Baal." And they announced it. So word went out. There was not a person who failed to show, because they knew their life was on the line. Think of how many people don't show to Jesus' banquet, because we think that there's no threat of death. But what happens if you don't show up for the invitation of Jesus' wedding? It's spiritual death. But because we don't have the imminent threat of death, many people dismiss it. We disregard it because we have other things to do. So Jehu said to the keeper of the wardrobe, "Bring out the garments for all the servants of Baal." You see, he provided garments. That's how they did it. So there was no excuse not to have a garment. Anyhow, we know the rest of the story. What a beautiful plan. I love reading that, you know, where you just get rid of all the bad people, one big swoop. But especially that group. But that's how the summons went. And yet we can so easily forget the importance of Jesus's summon for us to come to a wedding feast where he provides the righteousness that we need to be there, the white garments. Jesus, in his life, not just taught stories like this, but he also said, "Follow me." There are at least four places in the gospel accounts where Jesus said that. And the word "follow me" is imperative. There should be an exclamation point. He was telling people, "Follow me." And yet people made excuses, just like in his parable. Just like in the story, people made excuses. And he lived it out. It happened. What the story he told happened. And this is how, quite often, we handle spiritual things, because it's not physical. If we were physically told what to do, if we were physically warned, physically threatened, we might physically do what we should do. But the invitation, the summons that we are given in the gospel, has a far more dreadful punishment if we do not heed it than anything that can be done to us on earth. And we have to appreciate that. And it has to be part of our invitation to others. See, the church, this is not just the only place where we talk about an invitation. It should be everywhere we go. We should be warning people of the consequences of not accepting and listening to the gentle summon of Jesus through the gospel to be a part of his wedding feast. We need to follow him and accept the fact that it will mean picking up our cross daily and following him. It'll be great when the wedding feast gets here. Till then, it might be a little rough. But that wedding feast is the demarcation between a very short period of time and eternity. An eternity that will never end, where we will forever be with the Lamb and treated as his bride. So let's remember that. The last verse, of course, is, "Many are called, but few are chosen." From 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I will read. "Brothers, loved of the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." So we were chosen for this purpose. Sanctification and through belief in the truth. Those two things make us chosen. "To this end, he has called you through our gospel to possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're all called. We're called by the gospel. And so the gospel that we carry, the readiness of the gospel, which is what our feet are supposed to be, those are our main shoes for a Christian, is the gospel that we're carrying out there, is to spread this invitation of our groom that will bring us the benefits of a lifetime in heaven with the short burden of a cross to bear every day down here. Jesus never promised us a rose garden. He just didn't. He taught a message of sacrifice an allegiance to him far above any other allegiance we can have to any human or government. He's first, and everything else is really not relevant. So as we carry this summons of Jesus to the world, let's remember, we don't just do it here. I mean, we do it here, and we should do it here, because as a church, this is what we do. This is what we do. I forgot a last verse I wanted to mention. Jesus said something in the very last verses of the Bible. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. He's still inviting right to the end. And let him who hears say, come. So the Spirit and the bride, which is the church, are to always say, come. And whoever hears it should say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Right to the end, the gospel is an invitation, a summons from the King, our God and Father, to get as many people into this feast as possible so that they may have the benefits. It's our main job. So let us keep that in mind, and let's just do our job. Thank you.